Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Rachel Zee, a dynamic pianist whose simultaneously percussive yet lyrical approach enhances her quicksilver technique. And she's a woman of energy and determination, and all this is reflected in her music. Rachel, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here today.
Oh, I'm so glad you could come. And I must tell you, I really loved your piece in Jazz's magazine. It was so fascinating. I mean, you really told about all the trials and tribulations of wanting to be a jazz musician and winding up playing smooth jazz.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. But it can be, you know, it's smooth jazz, I guess, reaches some people, and straight-ahead jazz reaches other people, and I just try to play as much music as possible in between.
Well, and you do. And, of course, there's so much music out there. Well, I'm dying to hear some of yours, because on your record, it's all your own pieces, right? And, I mean, they're really exciting. It's a whole other way of playing, which I can listen to and enjoy, but I don't think I can play like that, but it's great to listen to. So play something for me.
Okay. I'll play a song called Gently Sleeps the Pear Tree, which is off of my second record, Room of One's Own, which is a dedication, 10 songs dedicated to the artistic achievements of women.
I think that's great. Now, why the title of this tune? Is it from a book or something?
Yeah, it's from the book Their Eyes Are Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston, and it's a chapter about this young girl who's about 13. She's sitting under the pear tree, and it says, gently sleeps the pear tree. As the pear tree blossoms, she's looking down the street at this boy, and she's like just having her first, you know, female yearning, so she's just becoming a woman. And the way Zora Neale Hurston wrote it, it was so beautiful. It was just so beautiful. I had to write a song about it.
What a great idea. Now I really have something I can imagine in my mind's eye.
Okay. Thank you.
it's a strange thing. Like, there's a whole different way of playing, like what you did just then. And it's really beautiful. Well, when you're writing, do you think of the thing as a whole bunch of chords, or do you think of a melody line? So what do you do when you're going to write something? Does it come to you in your head?
Yeah, it comes sort of as a piano piece. Most songs that I write, I don't know why. It's like after many weeks of dealing with some kind of emotional issue, I'll sit down and I'll just basically play something like... I might play the whole thing.
See, now I've heard it twice. Now it's coming to me. It's wild. I really love that piece.
Oh, thank you. Also, some of the chords, these kind of voicings are sort of coming from... I worked on High Life, the Wayne Shorter record. Very complex harmony. So, he was very into going places harmonically that had not been done before.
Well, it may be dissonant, but it sounds good.
Yeah.
And, tell me how you got started. I mean, how did you learn to play piano in the first place?
I started when I was a little kid, like you did, probably. I started when I was 7.
What, taking lessons?
Yeah. But I started really as a singer when I was 2 or 3. My mom and dad would have me improvise songs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, and my mother's an opera singer. So.
Oh.
Yeah, so a lot of music was around the house, so it wasn't unusual for me to learn to play piano, first sort of by ear, and then I took formal lessons when I was 7,
No wonder you've got such good chops. Well, I never did. See, I'm the opposite of that. I heard my mother play Chopin and things like that, and I just sat down at the piano and picked all these things up.
That's amazing.
But in a way it might be, but I always... think I've missed something out because I'm just a terrible reader. I can't sight read. I can read very slowly. And I did eventually get to the Guildhall School of Music, and I did study, but I think if I had it all to do over again, I would like to take more lessons than I did.
Wow.
So
I would like to take less lessons, whatever, because my teacher was so mean. He used to hit me.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so it creates a lot of performance anxiety for me that I actually go to a music therapist so that I can breathe more and connect better with the music, because I was afraid of him, so I have performance fears.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
because
you
got rid of that guy. Well, see, and you're here and doing all these wonderful things. So how about another piece? Tell me about this next piece.
This is called Artemisia, I believe, and she's a 17th century painter, and she was very interesting. She was very talented, as talented as Michelangelo, as far as I can see. I've seen her works in the Uffizi in Rome, in Florence, rather, and she was just an amazing painter and totally unsung because she was a woman. And so I wanted to bring awareness to her. And then, ironically, there's a movie out called Artemisia. So they brought her story into the public eye now. And I think that's great,
You must have had a rather erudite upbringing to get into that kind of thing. I mean, I feel kind of silly. I never heard of that person.
You'd have to research it, but that's just the point. Women's achievements are so often unsung.
It's true, they are.
Yeah.
I guess maybe this is your mission to write things for women in different walks of life, is it?
Well, for this project, it definitely was a great opportunity to help some of my women jazz musician friends, because I saw that the young girls were also suffering from low self-esteem and, having opportunities. Whereas men tend to stick together and affirm each other in jazz, and they help each other along. The women get splintered off, and they don't have that camaraderie with the guys because men are young. They're young men. They're uncomfortable with young women because of the identities and everything, and they don't know if they have a crush on them or whatever. So women don't get that bonding, so they don't achieve, the levels of Coltrane. And we want to have our young women achieve the level of Coltrane. So I just try to give them the power. You know, sometimes I use all women bands.
Yes, I saw some of the women in your band, like Terry Lynn Carrington. She came and sat in with me and my husband when she was about 11.
Right.
And I could already see this woman was going to be great. And I guess she has really done well. She's one woman who's done very well, or is doing well.
Yeah.
So, well, play your piece for Artemisia.
Okay.
Well, you get these great left-hand figures going. It's really nice.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, when you're writing something, does it take a long time, or do you find some things just fall together?
Sometimes you get lucky, right? You know? So I was happy when I found that figure that was in six, you know, this... because we can get into very much a meditative vibe. And the drummer, Cindy Blackman, who played on the record, she just really just set up this great Tony Williams kind of attitude. And it was really, really nice.
She sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have some more music in a minute or two. But first, I should let our listeners know that my guest is Rachel Zee. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. Well, I know that you love Wayne Shorter's music, and you suggested Footprints for us to do as a duet.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, let's see. I'll try. You know, that really is a lovely tune. I mean, I've made a sort of abortive attempts to play it with the group because, of course, all the bass players know it, you know. And I mean, people have played that tune for years.
Yeah.
Maybe now I really will play it. Now I've actually played it with you.
Yeah, I liked your approach.
Well, it's I can't believe you never played two pianos.
No.
Well, great. I'm glad you're here then.
It's exciting
to
do
it with me. You're so into women musicians, which is good because I guess I am too in a way. I thought maybe you'd like to hear something by Mary Lou Williams.
That's really exciting for me.
It's funny. She was somebody I admired and was dying to meet her before I came over here from England. The minute we got to New York, I went looking for her and found her in some little hole-in-the-wall club. And so then we were pretty friendly for years until she died. And she was so amazing because she didn't stay still. She was somebody that always wanted to be on the cutting edge or a little ahead of the game. And every time I would hear her play, she would be doing different things.
Wow.
And anyway, I'll just play. I mean, this is probably a pretty simple thing that she wrote many, many years ago. It's called, funny title, What's Your Story? Morning Glory. It's sort of a blues, actually. Mm.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I sort of fiddled with it a bit.
Yeah, you're great with the reharms and the inner voices.
Well, Mary Lou, a lot of her things were blues influenced. And I mean, she was really amazing because she started arranging for this big band when she was about 15. And then she married a saxophone player in the band and... I mean, some of the things she wrote when she was a kid, they really stand up today. They're really, really nice. And I just performed as part of a mass that she wrote. And we performed it in Washington, D.C., at the Washington National Cathedral. And one of the pieces is called, in the mass, it's called Elijah. And she wrote this thing in 1945, and I mean, the harmonies are so amazing that I think even Wayne would be astonished. And he wasn't even born yet, I think, of at least only a kid. I mean, she was really amazing, some of the things that she could do. But that thing I played, that was just like a bluesy thing.
Right.
Well, there are more things to come, but first I should let our listeners know that my guest is Rachel Zee. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, which is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. What could we do for a duet? What do you think would be good?
Well, I always like playing Autumn Leaves myself.
Well, let's do that. We could do it up-tempo, or we could do some ad-lib, or we could do a little of both.
Kind of up, I guess.
Okay.
Or a medium. Whatever you like. Wynne Kelly tempo.
Wynne Kelly tempo. I like that. Thank you. Boy, Autumn Leaves is nice in that key. I don't know why I don't play it in that key more often. It gives it a sort of a different feeling to it. I love to change keys because you get a different sort of vibe. Or they have different vibrations. Do you find that?
Yeah, it's interesting that you should say that. But, I mean, I never experimented, not so much with standards, but the next song I'm going to play is in the key. Each key corresponds to a horoscope sign, and each sign has significance. And the
really?
Next, yeah. And the next song I wrote is in A-flat, or it's in E-flat minor, but in the center of A-flat. I have an A-flat pedal, and A-flat is the key of Cancer, you know, the sign of Cancer, mm-hmm. which is the most healing sign, and that's why I wrote it in that key, because it's a song called Bodhisattva. Actually, Wayne Shorter showed me, taught me about Buddhism, so I practice Buddhism, and in Buddhism, a bodhisattva is one who takes care of others, so it's a very high place to live one's life. So I wrote a song about that.
Oh, that's great.
This song is off of my new record, Love is the Power, which is all about spiritual stuff.
I think that's wonderful. I'm dying to hear this piece. It has to be great.
Oh, I hope you like it. It's
I know
simple,
I will.
More simple than the others.
Boy, that's a very up, positive kind of a piece. I like that a lot.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Well, we have some more music coming up, but first I should let our listeners know that my guest is Rachel Z. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Tell me about this next piece. How did you come up with that title, Room of One's Own? Was that really taken from life situation or what?
Well, I wish I was so profound, but it's a book by Virginia Woolf.
Oh, that's right. Of course it is.
Right, you know, and she spoke about to young women who were in college that they needed to have a room of their own and a stipend to be creative. And that sort of says it all, you know?
It does.
Yeah.
Boy, and that can happen or does happen in some instances, I suppose.
Well, yeah, that's what we work for, I guess, right? You know.
Well, now, this piece you told me, I guess I get to play a little bit on this.
Yeah, I want you to take the solo.
Well, let's do this tune. I'm dying to hear how this is going to go.
Okay.
Oh, I love that piece. I'm glad I got to play a little something on it, but that's a very exciting, dramatic piece. I like that a lot.
Oh,
how long ago did you write that?
That was about probably 80s, 96, a few years ago.
Well, what was the first piece you ever wrote that you knew you could compose things?
Oh, that was when I first started playing.
As a kid, you
mean? Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was always very unsure of myself, and that I would write some tunes, and I would never... I always wanted somebody to say it was good, you know, and I remember when I was working at the Hickory House, I wrote a tune, and I credited it to somebody else.
That's great.
Yeah, until somebody said, oh, that's a pretty tune. Then I, you know, what are not things you do when you're green and callow?
Actually, though, when I was in Boston, and every time you would bring a song, the band would make fun of it.
Make fun of it?
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, that's stupid, you know. Oh, that's no good. That's not Miles. That's not this. That's not Train. You stink.
But actually, that probably was, in a way, that you might have turned that into good training.
Well, I started my own band. That was what I did. Then they had to play my stuff.
Well, that's how I got going. You know, I had, when I worked with my husband, that was one thing. But then when I started my own trio, I was the leader, so I could hire whoever I wanted, so,
yeah,
you know, which is lucky. So you did a good thing, start your own band. That's the best thing to do. Well, you know what I've been thinking? Would you think it would be fun to do a duet, like a free piece, and just see what comes out?
Yeah, that'll be fun, especially with your ears.
Well,
Ms. Monster.
With your ears, but I mean, it can be anything.
Okay.
So let's do one. Thank you. That was kind of nice. A nice little melody going through that thing.
Totally, yeah.
You know, you can transcribe it. And
I would love to do more of this with you. You're an interesting piano player.
Well, thank you.
There's no substitute for the experience, you know? I really feel that, you know?
I don't know. Yes, it's funny how I got started. There was a point, there was a time years ago, a long time ago now, and I had this drummer, and he kept saying things like, well, get outside a little bit, you know. And I'm going like, well, what is outside? What are you talking about? And it really took me quite a while to sort of leave the safety of the chord that I knew. All of a sudden I could do anything I wanted. Because I remember, do you know Paul Blay?
Yeah.
He used to come in the Hickory House and sit in with my trio. And it would be like he'd play in two different keys. And suddenly I was doing that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's hard, I think, when you have perfect pitch and you really know, you hear it all. It's hard to almost separate, you know, and go with that other thing that makes you play strangely.
Yes, I love to play strangely. I really like that. But
great.
But it's funny how suddenly it came to me, you know, all of a sudden, oh, is that what it is? You know, and from then on I was doing all kinds of silly things. But that's really what I remember, was Paul Blay playing in the key, playing in B flat, and then everything he was doing was in the key of B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm thinking, oh, what is that?
Hmm.
But meanwhile, as horrible as it seems, we're out of time, and I've enjoyed hearing you play and talking with you, and it's just been great.
Oh,
and
me too.
So I do thank you, Rachel, for coming to do Piano Jazz, and let's wind up with some. Now this is going to be a standard. I'll be interested to see what you do with this one. I mean, to me, this is sort of the tune Jerome Kearns, all the things you are. I mean, this is a tune everybody plays at some time or another.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a good one for us.
Yeah.
Well, that was great.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and her guest Rachel Z in a program which originally aired in 1999. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Richard Applegate, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager Audrey Shiflett, executive producer Tom Clark. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR stations, and NPR. Major support for the original production of this program was provided by the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, with additional support by Jazz Times Magazine, providing insight, news, and opinion on the jazz world since 1970, on the web at jazztimes.com. Also by the Glen Morangi Distillery, Shane Rothshire, Scotland. By Borders Books and Music and the Baldwin Piano Company. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.